Sandy will be here shortly. Perfect. This actually works out really well. So, Nilrim, while you were sitting, spending some time with Auntie Willow and discussing some of her more interesting bits of furniture, down the path came one of your crewmates, your blue-skinned tinkerer, Adara. This, of course, you know, causes you reason for alarm. You want to check in on your ship. How do you react to seeing one of your crewmates coming towards the ship, or towards you, toward the ship?
Is this going out to Megan and myself, or?
You're sitting there talking to Auntie Willow, and this other crewmate has suddenly started coming up the path to the cottage in the woods that's outside of town.
I guess I greet them. Hey, how's it going?
Okay, so she looks around, and then she reaches out to hand you the pistol that you found a long time ago, but it's all, like, clean and shiny now. And she says, Captain, I fixed this for you and thought you might need it on your adventure.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. So are you going to take the item then?
And now you have a pistol.
Ever cool.
It is only a single barrel black powder pistol, so it's a round to load, and then you can fire it. However, it deals 2d6 piercing damage.
That's a lot.
Single barrel, 2d6 damage.
But then you got to spend a turn to reload it.
Okay, so it'll fire one bullet, reload, like that. I get it.
Yeah,
okay.
Single shot.
That's super cool.
You know, somebody closes in on you in a tight hallway, you pull that out, put it into their stomach, and pull the trigger.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So you guys get to sit and enjoy some more cakes with Granny Willow as a little copper teapot continues scuttling back and forth across the table, refilling your teacups.
And Adara treats this as completely natural. She's just like, yep, this is how tea works.
Yeah, I guess can I load that little teapot that I got out? I guess I should give it a name if it's going to be moving around.
Oh yeah, that's your teapot that's running around. It's a little copper teapot with four little copper legs, and it's got a wooden, it's got a handle on the top and a handle on the back, both of which are wrapped in like a wooden handle.
Well, let's call that copper then. That's the name of it.
Sure.
Like Fox and the Hound.
Yeah.
And it seems quite happy to just be filling up cups of tea. I would also like to remind you that you can change the tea or the ingredients that are inside of the tea diffuser.
Neat. Okay, well, we're going to add some of my special herbs to this one then.
All right. So you're enjoying experimenting with different teas and how to adjust them to be just the right dose for you. When in the distance you hear someone, a crack in the woods, and you look up and you see K2 and Jess coming through the woods, battered, blood stained all over them, and only two of them.
Adara looks back and forth between everyone, and then she goes, "You had a small one with you when you left the ship, Captain."
Yeah, I did, eh?
Willow looks up. "Your friends look like they need help." She turns to some of the kids. "Go fetch me my medicine bag," as she gets up and... "Come, friends, come sit down. Sit down, you look like you've... You look like you've seen, She looks you up and down. "Oh, just come sit."
Not even words.
Have some tea. She looks back at Nilrum. Is it about the right consistency for you?
Heck yes.
Good, then pour some for these poor chaps.
Okay. Copper, get to it.
The little teapot, like, jumbles off across the table, like, click, 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 and then fills up their teacups with noticeably pungent weed. Or tea.
Nice.
It's flavor enhanced with remaining bits of tea that you didn't get out of it. But as it fills them up, she looks at you. What happened to you two? She said, what of the little one? Is she dead? You killed her, though. She is dead. The hag.
No. But her husbands aren't faring so well.
She kind of purses her lips and goes, what happened?
Well, in a nutshell, there's no more husbands, not sure about all the kids. And our friend went boom.
Boom. Boom like how?
Like there was a big flash of light and then there was a hole and she wasn't there anymore.
How did she... Never mind that now. We have other problems to deal with. Starting with all this blood all over you. Let's get you boys out of these clothes. He hollers over. Connor, find us a large shirt and pants for both of these gentlemen. Let's get them into the creek for a bath. Get them cleaned up. Once the kids are kind of out of earshot. You mentioned the children. What was done? She looks at the sack being carried by Jess that, you know, has red seeping through it. And what? I'm afraid to ask this, but what happened?
The short end of it is we went out looking for little orcs. Came across little orcs and their dads.
She looks visibly troubled by this. Despite the news that you have killed three ogres that live next to her, she appears more troubled than before.
Things didn't go as planned.
I am certain you had to defend yourselves.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
The blue-skinned individual sitting across from you that you recognize from the ship's crew as you're all sitting there and heading towards the creek, Auntie Willow, visibly, you know, frustrated, looks up and goes, the husbands were idiots and replaceable. I'm sure she would have found somebody else that was to her tastes. But children, she won't let go so easily.
So you're saying that she's more of a danger now than she was two nights ago?
She She's likely to do something rash. She kind of glances back towards the path through the trees that you guys came through. And something tells me you're not going to be the hardest things in the forest to track.
I just need to sleep for 8 hours and we'll go right back out there and finish this.
And I recommend you get some sleep now, because if she's been following you, she won't be that far behind.
I am quite well rested, having sat here waiting for you. I will definitely keep watch.
Okay, perfect.
So as Jess and K2 head down to the river to have a cleanup and get bandaged up, whilst their stuff is cleaned by Auntie Willow's kids, you notice her kind of whisper a couple things to some of the older ones, and certain things start changing. The windows start getting boarded up. Not boarded up, but like the shutters are closed and locked from the inside, and all the kids are being brought inside. But everything's happy, and we're just going to go inside and we're going to have some story time, and everything's going to be great. Roll me insight.
Everybody?
Yes.
Okay. That's not my strong suit. I got 5.
Hey, I got 18.
Unless it has to do with maps or alchemy.
13.
Nilrim, you realize based on these preparations, she's probably expecting this hag to catch up to you at some point tonight.
Okay.
You guys do have a couple hours where you've got a window of time where those that are injured can get a long rest in. Is there anything you'd like to set up among the two cottages that are out there? The one that all of the kids live in as a bunkhouse, and then Auntie Willow's tiny hut.
How many traps can we set out? And what kind of traps can we set out?
There are trees. The ground around here isn't super flat, but it's also not major hills. Like it has got a bit of a roll to it up and down. The trees are well rooted. There are clearings that pop up, but there are also thicker bits of trees. What did you have in mind?
Is there a pond? Or is it just the river?
Oh, there is a pond. Like, it's the stream kind of pools at a spot that looks like it's been dug out to attach to the stream, but is kind of stagnant.
Would the pond make a good vantage point? Or at least like an early warning system? If Adara hides in the pond, would the hag, if it came, would it have to go past the pond?
Potentially. Okay. The pond does give you a vantage point outwards, because it is uphill, and with enough clearing you can see the south side of the property?
Okay.
Quite clearly.
Adara's gonna fasten her pockets, making sure that nothing falls out of them, and she tucks a little blue bottle into one very, very carefully. And then she says, "I will keep watch from the water." And then she goes out and she just steps into the pond and she sinks down so that just her eyes and like the top of her head are above the water. And she just waits in a shadow.
Quick question. The area that I'm pretty sure she'd be coming from, would I be able to quickly set up like a rattle trap?
You're talking like just a tripwire that's going to make noise, essentially.
Yep, just some string and some cans.
Absolutely. You are able to put several of a couple of these, actually.
Just to give us any kind of moment more notice.
And it'll give you a direction. Roll me a D6.
Five.
You managed to set up five of these things.
Nice.
That's cool.
Okay, so you guys wait. And so what is your... As the sun begins to set, you're fully rested. You've set up a couple of these rattle traps. Adara has put herself into a reasonable vantage point. What would the other two of you like to do?
I want to get as far away from the house as I can and kind of stand in an open area that I think she'll be coming towards.
Absolutely. As you can set yourself up in the clearing between the two houses, where you can see you can see the ore path that you guys came through. You've set up several of your traps in that direction. We're going to put Jess inside the house with all the kids, you know, last minute defense in case all hell breaks loose.
Nice.
But as all the kids go to bed, the doors are closed up, Granny Willow goes into her hut and she goes rifling around. You can hear her rooting through some stuff. And she comes out holding a blunderbuss. A two-barrel blunderbuss that she is packing full of rocks at the moment.
Can I have my pistol that Megan got me? Can I have it like loaded and ready to go in my vest or whatever I'm wearing?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right.
I'm gonna ask Granny there to stay near the house. Don't get too involved.
She smiles and says, "That's why I have windows on all the sides of my house."
Good point.
Give me a second, guys. I don't actually have a map set up for this one, so.
So the moment I see her, if I have like any advanced notice, I want to cast Sacred Weapon on my weapon.
Well, what does that do?
It just adds a plus one to my attack, and it'll start to emanate bright light for 20 feet and dim light for 20 feet after that, and it lasts 1 minute.
All right, I like it. I would like everybody to roll me perception.
Yeah. 20, not natural.
And mine's not as good as last time. 5.
14.
Okay. As you are in position waiting, Nilrim, you get kind of bored.
Okay.
K2, you see a rustling in the trees, and both you and Adara hear this buzzing zzz, that is slowly getting louder and louder.
How dark is it?
The sun has set, however, it's a reasonably clear night, so it's dimly, poorly lit. Dim lighting.
Does it sound like it's slowly getting closer?
Yes.
Do I have a general direction?
the direction that you came from.
I can see that direction from my pond excursion.
Yes.
Nice.
One of the jingle traps goes off, but then another one goes off as well.
Two different directions?
Same direction, but more, one more to the left, one more to the right.
Oh, Christ.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to turn myself into a beacon of hope. I'm going to cast Streak of Weapons so it'll light up my area.
Well, if they didn't know where you were before, they sure the hell do now.
That means I get some sneaky, though, because they're going to be looking the other way. My sneaky is terrible.
That is very true, and it does brightly illuminate K2 as his Warhammer glows. What color does it glow?
Like a bright bluish light.
Bright blue, I like
That's
it.
That's nice.
Illuminating the grass and the trees. The evening breeze, a little salty from the ocean still, even though you're further inland, crosses through, moving, causing the grass to move in waves. Adara, you notice out of the one side, you notice first, out of off to the left, a small, squat little man with this pointy beard, his teeth and nose like gnarled in a permanent scowl, with this bright red hat drooping off to the side and these large, heavy boots thumping towards K2. In his hand, he holds a very peculiar object. A mace that looks like it's got a beehive on the end.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
But he's moving away from me, correct?
Yes, he is not moving towards you. He is moving towards K2.
Okay, how far away is he from me?
About 40 feet.
Okay, so that won't work.
I would like everybody to roll me their initiative, please.
I thought we did that. Am I going crazy? Have I lost?
I only got 4.
13.
Also 13.
I need to reroll. Or straight roll.
17.
18.
Nice. Just had to beat me.
All right. K2, that does put you up at the top. And breaking through the bushes, you see this squat man in a red hat with this beehive on a stick that he's got, that he is coming towards you full tilt. What do you do?
How far away from me is he?
At this point, he's broken out of the trees about 20 feet away from you.
Gonna run in full force and swing away.
Roll your attack.
Eighteen.
18 will absolutely hit as you crack him with your hammer.
That'll be 11 points of bludgeoning damage.
Ouch. All right, so you crack him upside the head for 11 points.
Nice.
Adara.
Yeah.
What would you like to do?
Get closer. I'm too far away to be any use right now. My hiding in the pond trick didn't work as well as I thought.
I mean, they didn't notice you, so it did work. So you move out of the water and up. You can get within about 15 feet of the fight at this point.
Okay. Yeah, that's still not super close. Can I hide for a moment, waiting for the opportune moment to strike?
Roll me stealth.
18.
All right. You formulate a plan to come in quietly as you come up out of the water and you move through the underbrush, keeping yourself low. And now it is the man in the red hat's turn.
Uh-oh.
K2, that'll be a 20, a 24, and a 26.
Oh, that's gonna hurt.
Yeah. You take 15 points, split of bludgeoning and piercing as he hits you with the beehive, and suddenly the bees buzz out of it and surround you, buzzing around your face, trying to sting at you.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah, it's going to grant you disadvantage on your attack until the start of his next turn. And in the woods, you hear another one of your rattle traps go off, but you don't see anyone come out.
Uh-oh.
Nilrim. So back from the house, you're a little ways out, but your ranged spells would be more than capable of getting involved with whatever this red-hatted bugger is that's fighting K2.
Okay, here's a question. If I cast a spell, let's say, I can't fire my gun as a bonus action, right?
No.
What about if I fire my gun as my action, can I reload it as a bonus action and then have it ready for my next turn? Or how does that work?
It is an action to reload, unfortunately.
So it's like fire one turn, action next turn, fire next, like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Alright, that being said, so I can see where they're going, where they are at, so I can hit them with something?
Oh, you can definitely see the Warhammer of K2 is glowing blue as the two of them are beating each other.
Okay, and they're within 60 feet then?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to try something from Wayland's spellbook here. I'm going to... I wanted to try this one for a bit there. It's that Melf's Acid Arrow.
Oh my god, I was just looking at that spell today.
So it sounds cool. Make a spell attack. So I have to do a spell attack, a ranged spell attack?
Yep.
And that's shitty. What do I add to hit? I add my spell attack bonus, right? So that's only an 8 to hit.
Okay, what'd you roll?
I rolled a 2.
Ah. Well, unfortunately, your acidic arrow leaps through the air and misses, slamming into the ground behind him with a hiss.
And for all our spell slots, are we rested? Or?
You are well. You are fully rested.
All right. So I guess it's an action to reload. Is it an action to fire since I already have one loaded? Or can I fire on a bonus?
It action? Is your attack action. It is your attack action to use a firearm.
Then I shall end my turn.
That puts us back up at the top with UK2.
Oh boy.
I'm just going to keep swinging.
You roll your attack, but at disadvantage because you presently have bees buzzing you in the face.
Aw, bees are the good guys.
So 13 was the lowest of those two?
Unfortunately, a 13 will not hit him.
Dang it.
As you attempt to swing at him, missing wildly.
Elusive motherfucker.
Wait, no, I lied. 13 hits him. 13's his armor class.
Oh, good.
Thank God. I'm also going to pump one level of Divine Smite into this.
Absolutely.
So that's 12 points of bludgeoning and 14 of Divine Smite.
So hold on, so that's
23 points of damage total.
Yep. They are more than bloodied as you bash them where the blue light just suddenly erupts for a second as you connect, sending him reeling backwards, eyes trying to adjust to the darkness. Adara, roll me a perception check.
Natural 20.
Perfect. You notice beyond the fight, in the woods, a greenish-grayish light begins glowing in a bush.
Oh boy.
It's your turn.
And how far away is it?
From your current location, 30 feet as the crow flies, but that would put you right through the ball of light.
Okay. Well, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna need your help on this one a little bit.
Okay.
I am going to cast a spell, but for this to work, I need to have a 5-foot wide line, 30 feet long in front of me that is just bad guys. So I need to step to the side so that I don't get K2 in this. But I'm hoping I can get all the way out to that horrible light that's coming in.
Oh, absolutely. Getting around K2 is not a problem.
Okay.
You're just standing behind K2's glowing light as there's suddenly a light, bright blink of blue as you unleash this, what is it, a line of fire?
It is not actually. It is a stream of acid. I am casting Tasha's Caustic Brew. So a stream of acid emanates from you in a line 30 feet long, 5 feet wide in a direction you choose. Each creature in the line must succeed on a dex saving throw or be covered in acid for the spell's duration, which is concentration up to 1 minute. And a creature covered in acid takes 2d4 acid damage at the start of its turn.
2d4 damage at the start.
So make me a dex save for everybody in that line.
Pretty well.
simplified vehicle operation for urban communities.
Alrighty, that would be a 19.
Pass. What about all the little bees? Do I get any bees? All the little...
Absolutely, and they are melted to a crisp.
Yes! Alright, and because she's an artificer, she didn't just, like, cast her hand out for magic. She grabbed, like, a water skin. It looks like a water skin from her hip, and she squeezed it, and it just squirted like a squirt gun.
I like it.
And then she's going to pull this really pretty and very dangerous looking... wait, can I even do that? Pull out a weapon after that? I know I can't attack, but can I pull a weapon?
Sure.
Okay. So she's just going to pull out her double-bladed scimitar so she's ready for next turn.
I mean, I assume that's really hard to put away.
Yeah, it kind of is. I just kind of assume it's on her back.
All right. Now it's...
Oh, and she would like to advise K2 that something is coming in that direction.
So K2, as you lit up the lit the area up with a blue flash, suddenly there was a splash behind you. When you looked over, you indeed saw this woman weaving some sort of a spell behind a tree off in the distance. However, our little friend is not going to let you let up that easily. That will be a 13, an 11, and a 15 to hit.
15 gets me.
All right, you take 5 points of bludgeoning damage and 2 points of piercing damage as the bees continue to harass you. And then he's going to try and run away from you.
Oh.
Opportunity attack. At disadvantage because you have the bees.
15 was the lowest.
15 was the lowest. That still hits him. Roll your damage as you crack him from behind.
12 points of damage.
As you crack him in the back, catching him in the shoulder, you see his head suddenly flick to the right in a way that you don't think is natural, and he kind of crumples to the ground. And as he crumples and the beehive on a stick falls out of his hands, you feel this desire to go pick it up.
Pick it up.
I'll grab it.
As you wrap your hand around this branch, suddenly you feel this pulse of energy rush through you. And all the bees that are suddenly buzzing around you in the air, you're very aware of them on like a telekinetic level. Oh. And as you pick the weapon up, You feel the bees inside of the living hive inside, ready to do your bidding.
That's so cool.
All right, this can work.
That was his turn. Didn't go so well. The lady in the woods steps out screaming, And Adara, she, seeing as you launched an attack at her, she launches one back, firing this blackish blob through the air towards you. Does a 26 hit you?
Yep.
You take 7 points of acid damage as the black blob hits you in the stomach. Poop. Nilrim.
Okay, well then. What were you going to say?
This very rude lady that has suddenly is now throwing things at your friends was hiding behind a tree, and you now see her sticking herself out, throwing things at your ship's tinkerer.
Oh, no, he didn't. Okay, no, she didn't. I'm going to go just cast my cantrip of create bonfire on there.
Nice.
All right, they have to make a dex save. Oh, that's a 4. The answer is no.
So that's 1d8.
You set the fire where they are about to step into as they throw the spell at Adara.
Nice, and I rolled an 8.
That's fantastic. Adara, even though you see it come, the blob coming towards you, and you feel it hitting you in the stomach. As it's hitting you in the stomach, you see the ground underneath her foot as it hits the ground, and the blob leaves her fingers, suddenly erupt in this orange flame. And as you feel the pain in your stomach, you see the look of horror and surprise as she is on fire.
Nice.
Awesome.
I'm going to toss her a blunt, all cocky-like, and flick it at her. Light this up, bitch.
K2. It is now your turn.
This guy's still running?
Oh, no, he dead.
Okay. How far away from me is the other person?
Twenty-five, 30 feet.
Gonna turn heel and start running straight for them.
They're very easy to find as they're presently standing in a bonfire.
Wonderful.
I'm gonna make sure they get a little close to that bonfire. I'm gonna swing down and swing hard.
So as you're swinging, you feel the bees inside almost waiting for a command. Do you send them out as you swing down at the person on the bonfire?
Absolutely.
I'd like you to roll me a nature check.
That's going to be a 1.
Okay. Roll me your attack.
I kind of wish this was the other roll. That's going to be a 13 to hit.
That doesn't hit, but I'm going to grant you advantage because they're quite well illuminated.
Seventeen
will hit.
Am I still rolling the d10 on this, or is it different?
No, it is 1d6 plus 1d4 plus your strength.
Wow.
1d6 bludgeoning, 1d4 piercing as the bees come out and start stinging.
That's deadly.
Nine total.
The bees come out and they do indeed begin stinging, but unfortunately, because you deploy them into a fire, They all catch on fire and they get burned up.
Should have figured that.
I'm sorry, I gave you a nature check and you rolled a one.
Hey. It happens.
Now you only have one little bee that's buzzing by your ear. And anything else from you, K2?
Nope.
All right, Adara, it is your turn.
All right, with my lovely, very shiny, double-bladed scimitar ready, I want to step closer and take a swing.
Alrighty. You absolutely have advantage either through flanking or the fact that they're standing in a bonfire. Pick your poison.
Well, I rolled the exact same thing both times. So that is 16 to hit.
That unfortunately will miss as you swing. Dang. Trying to cleave at them.
Oh, that's brutal. Adara just swears and gets ready to attack next time.
And now it is indeed their turn, where they leap out of the fire, coming around behind K2, trying to dig their claws in. Back here, die. Oh, shit. It'll be a 10 and a 10. As they attempt to claw at you, catching nothing. I don't understand how they missed you this badly. But the claws miss you entirely. Maybe it's the backlighting. Nilrim.
Yes, yes.
The hag has moved out of the fire and is now on the other side of K2. But you still can clearly see them.
Okay. Then that hag hasn't had her turn, because that's after me, I guess, eh?
No, she had her turn. Right, she had to make another dex save at the start of that turn.
Yeah.
Ooh, that'll be 6, so roll that damage.
Ah, stick with the 8s, 2 in a row.
Damn. All right. And then it's your turn. That was so, from your turn.
The web explodes. Eh? If I cast a web on that bonfire, will it make an explosion effect?
It will light itself on fire, yes. Not much so much an explosion as...
burn.
Will it cause damage?
Yeah, it'll cause damage. It will just go like lighter fluid would.
So not enough to waste a level, my level 2 spell here. I'm going to try old Betsy here with that new gun I got.
Alrighty. It's dexterity plus proficiency to fire.
So dexterity. 12. So plus 1.
Plus 1. So plus 3. So d20 plus 3 to fire it.
19.
Okay. Jesus Christ. Yes, you point the gun directly at them as they step out of the fire and shoot them in the shoulder blade. Roll me 2d6 plus 1 damage.
Shit. 4.
You rolled a 1 and a 2?
Yes.
God damn it. On the bright side, you successfully did shoot them the first time you shot at somebody.
Yay. And bonus action, I can't load that gun, so I have to just...
No, but you could sheath it if you wanted to.
Sheath it. Okay, but...
Put it in.
Yeah. Okay, I will sheath it.
Stuff it in your belt.
After blowing the smoke from the barrel, like they do in the movies.
Yeah.
Okay, too. As the hag was moving around and went to move in for a third strike, suddenly there was a loud bang, and they winced downwards. And you smell the smell of gunpowder. It is your turn.
Gonna take a baseball swing straight to her head.
Alrighty, roll your attack.
-21.
That absolutely hits. Roll your damage.
I'm going to pump a level of divine smite into this as well.
Another flash of blue light illuminates the clearing and the houses.
So that's 8 for the weapon. And then 10 for Divine Smite.
They have reached a point of being bloodied as you divinely smack them upside the head. Adara, as you move yourself around the fire and you can close the distance and catch up to the hag without a problem. It's from where you're standing, it is you, then the fire, then K2, then the hag. So you step 5 feet to the left and 20 feet forward and you're good to go.
Awesome. That's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to take another swing with my scimitar.
You have advantage because of flanking.
I am really glad I had advantage. That is 19 to hit.
Awesome. I would like you to roll your scimitar damage as this whirlwind of blades just flies out of nowhere beside you and starts chopping bits of the hag apart.
And that would be 8 points of slashing damage. And because I'm good with this, I can then use my bonus action to make another attack with it. And I'm going to hopefully hit on that yet too, but I don't think so. That's only 17 to hit.
17 will hit.
Whew! Yay! And that's 5 points slashing.
All right, so you come in giving her a new haircut.
Oh, yeah.
Now it is on their turn. The claws are out, ready to cut you all down. Dara, does a 19 hit you?
Yes.
K2, never mind. I'm not going to ask if an 8 hits you.
Yeah.
You do not need to dignify that with an answer. Adara, you take 12 points of slashing damage from the claws as they rake across you.
Are you freaking serious? All right.
Are you down?
Nope.
Okay, good.
But you're trying to kill this one too, aren't you?
I'm not trying to.
I know.
And Nilrim.
So that Leah Hag's still alive? Is she? Did she do her deck save?
No, she left the fire that first turn.
Oh, she's a bitch.
You could drop concentration on it and cast it again. It is only a cantrip.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do.
All right, K2, the fire behind you suddenly winks out, only to burst up right in front of you around the hag. Ha 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 ha, roll your damage.
Oh, that's the opposite of it. One.
Oh, no. Hey, that's still damage.
Yeah, that's true.
Boo for damage that time.
You've condemned her souls to burn?
Yeah.
K2, it is now your turn as your glowing warhammer is raised up over the burning hag. You have advantage because of lots of things. Go. Wait, you're not using your warhammer. You've got the
beehive now.
Yep.
Seventeen
does hit. However, because the bees all got lit on fire, you do not get the 1d4.
That's okay. I'm also pumping my last divine smite into this as well.
Alrighty, roll your d8s and d6s and.
Okay, so that's 7 on the weapon, and that is 12 on the divine.
She is trying to flee at this point. Adara.
Uh-huh. How far away has she gotten?
Oh, she hasn't gotten anywhere. She hasn't even left the fire, but you can tell her intent is to run.
Okay. I am going to swing again.
Roll your attack.
21 to hit.
That will absolutely hit. Roll your second attack, too.
Your
bonus action attack.
19 to hit.
That also hits. Roll me your damage for both of them, please.
Oh, I see 2 4s. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
14.
Yep, 14. 14 slashing.
As the fire erupts underneath the hag, bubbling the skin, and you see the mighty K2 raise his hammer up, the blue light, or the beehive glowing with this blue radiance, you decide to put the physics of the situation to work and begin spinning your double-ended scimitar, going for the legs, and like a wood chipper, using the momentum of K2's hammer, K2's beehive, you chop the legs down bit by bit, driving with the momentum of his strike, and then they are dead.
And
you all,
that's awesome.
You take a step back as the fire continues burning around the legless hag. She had 4 hit points left.
I just dropped to a sitting position in front of this fire and just kind of like, ah.
A little bee climbs out of the beehive and kind of buzzes up onto your shoulder.
Sorry about the fire.
It just kind of you know, crawls on you, kind of comforting you. Because you got boo-boos in that fight.
Adara's going to reach out, and without even saying anything, she just she stabs a little dart into K2's leg, like just in his thigh. And that is my version of healing word. And you get 7 points of healing.
Healing damage.
Yeah. I stabbed you with some healing.
In the modern world, we'd call that morphine.
No, morphine is spare the dying. Which I have as well. That's the morphine, because it doesn't really heal you, but it just makes you stable. It stops the ouchies.
We just keep you comatose until we figure out what to do with you.
Yeah. Gotcha. Don't know what we're going to do with you, but you don't feel it. So, question. I've got pretty good nature skill. Plus, I am proficient with alchemist supplies and tinker's tools. Could I create some kind of lure for more bees to come? Using alchemy, I'm sure I could come up with a concoction that is sweet or something that I could lure in some more bees for the weapon.
You know what? I'm absolutely sure you could. I'm sure you can, you know, distill certain flowers down to get their nectars to create the perfect bee feeding. You'd also attract a lot of hummingbirds. Is that a bad thing?
Nah.
You would have no problem with mosquitoes.
Awesome. So yeah, that's what Adara will do in the next couple of hours. I think she needs an hour to do something special.
And Auntie Willow comes out of her house, still holding her gun. She walks over to the partially burning corpse of the hag. She looks down. Bitch spits on her and then points the gun at her and shoots her in the head. She's like, the lower half of her torso is on fire, but she still shot her in the side of the head anyways.
Might as well.
Bad blood?
You ever lived next to a hag before, young man?
Can't say I have.
They'll steal your babies and eat them. And what's worse is that then they'll birth out an exact copy of your child, usually your daughter's, and they'll bring them back to you, and the child will seem a little off. But people will get used to it. But then the hag comes back later, usually in the early teenage years, and performs some evil rituals on the children. And if that wench can get a hold of her daughters, they'll turn into hags as well. So I've been doing my best to keep that vile thing out of town.
Anyone else out there we might need to know about?
She sits there and goes, I mean, if you go far enough inland, there's a village of giants up that way, but they're usually pretty reasonable. Just don't drink a growth potion before going in.
Why?
Because giants like to enjoy that they are taller than us little folk. And if you play into it and just go, haha, yes, I am little and that is funny, they think it is funny and you are not a snack. If you
drink enough growth potions that you are as big as a giant, then they will see you as a challenger and wish to fight you.
Adara takes notes.
Now, hopefully you remember that.
The giants have a really silly system of government that is based on height.
Being half giant, I think I'd know that system.
I mean, you probably do know that system. You would also know that depending on the kind of giant, some giants stick to it more firmly than others, and sometimes being 2 inches taller can indeed make you, you know, chief of a tribe because you happen to hit a growth spurt.
And you're an idiot.
Oh yeah, there's... Which also in giant society can also lead to assassinations because you're taller and therefore in charge and you're an idiot. So if you're dead, you're not taller.
I should probably mention that Adara's not exactly small. She's quite the opposite from the fairy you had as a party member before. She is 6'6", completely hairless, but she has eyebrows tattooed on. Other random tattoos all over her body, and blue skin, and a fin on her head. She's pretty weird looking, but she's very smart.
She's weird looking with the giant and the human bard and the tiefling wizard. Yes.
Fair enough.
K2, as you're settling in after the murder fest and, you know, actually settling in for the night, you notice Auntie Willow kind of eyeing up the beehive stick that you've got. Interesting find you've got there, young man. May I take a look?
Go for it. Careful, there's things living inside of it.
She picks it up and she, like, gently lifts it up so she can take a look inside the holes in the bottom. And there's 3 distinct little holes that the bees come in and out of. So there is. Hello, little ones. She gently kind of looks it up and down. Kind of taps on the outside of the hive and goes, it looks like it should be paper, but it's hard like stone, like... It's been coated in... She taps it again, then kind of gives it a lick and goes, amber? Interesting. Do you know much about these sticks?
No, I don't.
The hive tends to pick a wielder, but only if you can defeat its previous wielder in single combat. You are now one of the keepers of the bees. She sets it down. You're lucky your friends didn't interfere, or else it would have upset the ritual.
Interesting.
She smiles and says, good night.
So can he communicate with those things now?
To a lesser degree, yes. Bees have an interesting language that's based on movement that you now understand the basics of what they're discussing. But it's really hard to translate into normal common speak.
His alter ego could be like the beekeeper or something cool like that.
Yeah. He speaks with the bees.
And yes, at dawn, your bee smacking ability does come back, and it does grant disadvantage to any creature that is hit by it, or up to 1 creature that is hit by it until the start of your next turn.
That's awesome. You've got bees. That is so cool.
Unbelievable.
Just don't stick it in fire again. That is literally the only thing that makes them go away.
But the honey is probably so much sweeter with the fear in it, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think we'll wrap up here. In the morning, you guys will make your way back to the city of Myrdeth. And then from there, do you guys want to snoop around town for things to do? Or do you guys want to get back in the boat and sail somewhere else? Or do you want to look for a scene?
I want to look for like some epic sort of adventure. The Indiana Jones shit.
Yeah, before we leave Auntie Willow's house, Adara would like to talk to her about any books that she has or any maps of the area.
Or rumors.
Yeah, just like anything interesting. Adara is also a cartographer, so she's really good with maps. I'm hoping that if there are maps in the house that she can look at them and like pick out if there would be like interesting places to go. If she could see something like that.
She does spend a bit of time with you. She does have a map of the area. It does show it's obviously not to scale in any way, shape, or form, but it does have the river and a few interesting spots on it. And she points at this one spot where it shows a tower. She goes, "Now, this tower hasn't been in use since before Crispy McGee outside took up residence in the Vale. But they used to have a guard tower up there. Not quite sure what they were guarding. I think it was some sort of a prison. A prison for prisoners away from prying eyes."
"Well, that is very interesting indeed. Plus, I imagine this hag had a home somewhere. We could go and at least torch that, make sure that no one else moves in and uses it."
"I got some spare kerosene, if that is your plans. I could spare a jar."
"I have learned that my captain can create fire. It's quite handy."
This gun I got, when I look at the weapons, is there an attack bonus on it?
Yeah, it would be your dexterity plus your proficiency.
Oh, so plus 3.
Was that, John?
Plus 3, I guess.
You have a plus 1 dex?
Yes.
All right. So, while it may not be your most accurate weapon, it does pack a hell of a punch.
I love it, yeah. It's cool. Every captain needs a pistol.
I agree.
You just get yourself a collection of pistols.
Yeah.
Sure, right. It's a full minute to reload all your guns, but...
Oh, yeah, here's a thought. They use little pellets. Can Nisa enchant those?
Nope.
Oh, I thought you could enchant those little pebbles.
Nisa cannot enchant those little pebbles.
Who was that? That was the other game we were playing?
Well, Nisa could prior to her death, but...
Right, absolutely. Right. My bad. Awkward.
That's why I was like, nope. She's dead.
We need another enchantress, because that would have been handy for our bullets.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a spell I can learn, Caleb, to do that?
Probably. We could try and look into something like that for you.
Alright. Okay, well, if we're ending it here, that was fun, guys.
That it was.
Yeah. Well, so next session, do you want to go back into the city, or do you want to head further inland to this old fort by the giant village?
Yeah, the old fort sounds like a start of a good adventure.
Okay, I lied.
Alrighty.
My current character can also do that as well.
Sweet.
It is.
Well, I'm going to put you to work.
Yeah, that spell is available to Artificer, Druid, and Warlock. So, yep.
Nice. Okay. Well, that's huge, because that'll be huge, so that'll do extra damage.
What does that spell do again? What does it make the damage of the rock when thrown?
I forget. I had it written down.
1d6 plus your spellcasting ability modifier.
All right. So, yeah.
And it's got
a range
of 60 feet.
I argue that it would work the same through a gun, because instead of being thrown, it's just being propelled. It would add 1d6 plus the spellcasting modifier instead of your dexterity modifier. So you'd lose the plus one and gain whatever Megan's spellcasting modifier is and add an extra d6.
Yeah, so it'd be a d6 plus three.
I like it. This will be cool.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Next session.
Yep.